Barbara, I get absolutely excited when I look at Hebrews 1:14, and here's what it says. Are they not all, talking about the angels, ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation?
Well, you were just talking in Job 22:28, and when a person decrees a thing, those angels are going to go forth on the word of God that you speak. And I believe it's so important. The other day you were telling a person who had just called into the radio to our program, and you said, God is only going to work on the word of God that goes out of your mouth, not on your words. So you need to choose your words wisely and use the word of God to bring what you want, bring the purpose of what you want.
Well, I think if you put it in the area of healing, if a person says, oh, God, please heal my friend. Well, okay, those are human words, but they don't have the power that says you must die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you're healed. See, if you speak 1 Peter 2:24, the angels, and we're getting to that next verse here, in Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Now, his will is to heal. So when we put his will on the situation with faith, those angels go to work, God's power to heal goes to work, and guess what? We end up with what we call a miracle.
Yes.
Is it a miracle? Well, you might say, well, it's just business as usual. God said he'd do it, and he's doing it.
Yes. Or I can think of the night that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified, and angels came and ministered to him. They also ministered to him after he had been tempted by the devil in Matthew 4. Angels came and ministered to him, strengthened him. Now, if Jesus Christ, Messiah, needed angels, Darren, to come and minister to him, how much more do we as human beings need that? And I believe that those angels carried him through that crucifixion. I believe the words that they said and the comfort they brought to him carried him through that excruciating torture that he went through, the beating and the thorns on his brow and carrying that cross up Golgotha and being crucified. I believe their ministry really blessed him to go through with that.
I do too, and I agree with that. And also, when you bind or you forbid the spirit of debt, and by the way, let me say this. The root spirit of why you're in debt on credit cards, why you've got two or three mortgages on your house. You see, the world is after your equity in your home, and that without any compassion. And they'll give you a 24% loan and put a third mortgage on your house in a heartbeat because they know that there's no way they can lose. That real estate, if it's sold, they're going to get paid. Now, the first mortgage get paid first, and then the second mortgage, and then the third mortgage, and whatever. But the world wants it to be totally mortgaged. They say, and you hear the ads just like I do, get out of that high credit card debt, put a second mortgage on your house, and that interest is deductible, and blah, blah, blah. And that spirit of debt keeps us as a slave to the lender.
Yes.
And many of you that are listening to me today know good and well that you're in slavery. And see, you don't have discretionary funds. You can't. There's no wiggle room in your deal. And when I'm on the air and I'm talking to you about those poor little kids in Venezuela, you just cry inside because you cannot send a check because you don't have it. Now, I'm not putting you down for that because I've been there. But what the reason for this message is to say, God, where's the harvest?
Well,
the Lord has given us revelation to show us how to get our harvest.
And the rich power brokers in charge of this world, they want to keep the people enslaved because that gives them control over the people. And whenever you have the people indebted to you, you have control over them. And that's what Proverbs says. You know, the debtor is a slave to the lender. And so that's exactly what they want you to be, a slave.
Well, in Matthew 16:19, it says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind is bound. What you loose is loosed. And folks, I'll tell you something. You need to take authority in the spirit world and bind that spirit of debt. Bind that spirit of infirmity. See, a spirit of debt is financial sickness.
Yes.
And you want to get out of that.
That's right. And you say it as a prayer. Would you like to just say a prayer right now, Darren, in reference to the spirit of debt?
Absolutely.
And actually pray for our listeners that are listening to this, that they would lose a spirit of prosperity over their lives.
Well, I would say like Jesus said to his disciples when they said, teach us to pray, pray like this. And that's basically what Jesus said. So I'm telling you, pray like this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I forbid, I bind the spirit of debt that has tormented me and my family and my business and my investments. I command that out of my house, out of my life, and I say it cannot operate against me any longer. And then, Lord God, I loose, I permit, and I encourage, I call in the spirit of prosperity to come into my finances, into my house, into my accounts, into my investments, and all of my financial interests, and bring me great prosperity, because that is your will. Thank you, Father. I am an heir to the covenant. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, to some of you, I would say, like I said in the seminar just last week, go to the front door of your house, or the back door, or all the doors, and say, spirit of debt, you're out of here. I bind you, and I cast you out of my home. Now, some of you are just way too passive. You need to be more passionate. And there's two ends of the spectrum. Some people stand around, you know, why, you know, twisting their hands. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, when it comes time for seed planting, here's what I'm going to recommend to you. Go back to Ezekiel 37, and here I'm going to talk about prophesying to the breath. And in Ezekiel 37, God said to the prophet, and he took him out to a valley of dry bones. He said, can these bones live? And the prophet said back to God, only you know. How would I know? And there was dead. And if you've ever seen parched bones from an animal out in the sun, they're dried, they're gray, there's no moisture content there, they break easily, they've just shriveled up, dried up. All the meat has been taken away, you know, and all you have is bones left. All you have is a carcass left. Well, God is saying, here's what I want you to do, Ezekiel. I want you to prophesy to the breath and prophesy to the problem. Prophesy to the breath and say, oh, breath, come and breathe on these slain that they may come to life. Well, now, what if we're talking here, we want to make sure that our seed is alive before we plant it. And sometimes we say, oh, yeah, this is good seed. Well, I'm telling you, if you go out and you plant a garden, if you've got any experience, sometimes you plant a whole row of radishes or carrots, and only half of them come up. You say, well, what happened? I know I put seed in this whole row here.
Yes, and Martha Stewart just the other day was talking to a gardener, was saying, be sure that the seed that you plant in your garden is good.
What chapter is Martha in?
I don't know. But if even the world is saying, watch out for your seed. Make sure that what you prepare and all the work that you do, you've got good seed
exactly.
To plant in that soil. Yes.
And you know, you can know that you know that you have kingdom seed to plant. Mm-hmm. And we're going to teach you here how to have kingdom seed. All right, now, so you're holding your check in your hands. That's your seed. And you're saying, oh, breath, come and breathe on this seed, that it may produce life, that it may produce a harvest for me. I'm going to plant it with the spirit back here, with the power to make wealth. It's confirmation of the covenant. I know I'm giving you a lot here, folks. You're going to have to re-listen to this message to get it all. But in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, I've given you the power to make wealth, that the covenant may be confirmed. Well, you got covenant, confirmation, power. So when you plant your seed, plant it with power, the power to make wealth. So then you release your seed and plant it. And then you can hang on to your title deed saying, I know I have a harvest coming. Because God says as long as the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, there'll be seed time and harvest. God, the earth still exists. I'm standing on it. And I'm going to have my harvest. Now you see, at that moment, you have a harvest in the spirit. Your title deed, your faith, your confirmation, Hebrews 11:1, is that says, you have a harvest coming because you have planted seed, and you know because the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, has come and has surrounded, has penetrated that seed. You're planting live seed with the power to make wealth with it.
That's right. And if you don't know how to say this exactly, ask for a title deed. And we can send them a title deed, can't we? A leaflet.
Sure.
And on the back of it says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on my seed that it may come to life and produce a great harvest. 30, you can check 30, 60, or 100 fold. And Darren, I believe it's really important that we utilize this verse as in our seed planting. It's really important.
Well, also in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, God keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation. Now, here's what it says. I'll quote it to you. Know this, that the Lord your God, he is God. I'm having a senior moment here. I can't remember the rest of the verse. Know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Finally got it out. Thank you, Jesus, for recall. All right, now we go back. Hebrews 10:35 says,